Good evening, everyone. In the days like today, when the world of Torah is under massive attack, and more and more yeshivot are closing down because they cannot pay the expenses to keep the yeshiva running, when there are so many tragedies that the phone doesn't stop ringing about reading Tehillim for him, for her, for him, for her, all day like this, every few minutes, it seems, I'm speaking from my own opinion, from what I've seen around, it seems that we are still living inside the shell. We don't understand the situation. People are still dreaming about building nice mansions and going on vacations and living the life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends messages, and again and again, Olam keminago noeg. One of the main reasons for the situation like this is the same reason that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for Sinat Chinam. Not that we don't have problems, we have so many problems as it is, as a nation. Instead of gathering together and create unity and fight against the problems from outside, we eat each other up. That's really what's happening now. Technically, the enemies can go and rest. They don't need to do anything to us because we're doing the job. Like Chazal already said, Me'arsayich u'machrivayich memech yetzu. As I travel from one community to another every 2 weeks, most, not all, Baruch Hashem, most of the communities I've been, there's massive war before I arrived there. Don't speak here, speak there. They were here, they moved there. There's enemies. This one get offended. That one will get offended. This one is, you know, that. This one is that. If you speak over there, it's going to... You wonder to yourself how we became like this. More and more shuls are opening up. The amount of religious people in the world are not growing. Yes, there was a wave of Balei Tshuva for the last 25, 30 years. Many of the frum people went off the derech. One person told me a week ago when I was in Shabbaton that there are more people leaving religion than people joining it in these days. I hope he doesn't know what he's talking about. But even if he's wrong or he exaggerates, no one can deny there's a serious problem. So if the amount of us does not grow, hundreds of shuls are opening up. Did you ever think why? Usually when you open another shul, that means there's not enough room for the people. You need to either make the place bigger or to open another one. But if every week another one and another one and another one are opening up, what's really the reason? Machlokot. The machlokot creates many shuls to open up. Why? Two groups in a place, one pull left, one pull right. They tear the place apart. A group of people leave. Revolution. And they open another one and another one. Today, I see things that I never ever believe I will see in my lifetime. I see frum people, what we call Orthodox Jews, prefer to help the secular apikorsim anti-religious people than to help their own brothers, different rabbis. That's what's happening now. People with yarmulke join with the evil forces in the Israeli government to help them to destroy the Torah. People that walks with yarmulke on the street. But it's not only there, it's over here, everywhere you go. Baruch Hashem, you are people who lives in a frum community and live a frum lifestyle. Not everyone who has yarmulke live frum lifestyle, not at all. There are people who walks with yarmulke and the goyim are million times more tzaddikim than them. Million times more. This is the actual Erev Rav, mamash the Erev Rav. They will do everything they can to prevent tshuva, from prevent Jews to join Hashem. Why? It's not one of us. All kinds of things like this that you don't know if to cry or to just pull your hair off. What's happening? If you know what Facebook is, about a week ago, a person with a hat, like a Rosh Yeshiva, you know the round hats, like a Rosh Yeshiva and a beard, a graduate of Miri Yeshiva, what can you ask for more? He's writing articles against me that I say that Mechalel Shabbos is not mitzaref leminyan. Everything I say, it's 1,000,000% in every halacha book. Sfaradi, Ashkenazi, Yemen, no one can ever contradict it. This is the seven different places in Shulchan Aruch. Instead of being quiet, because many people make tshuva when they realize they cannot be a part of anything on a tshuva, in a kedusha, he decided that it's a very urgent message to tell all the wicked people who drives on Shabbat and eat treif and marry the goyim and steal and do all the other things, to be mechazek et yadam, that God forbid, maybe they become Shomrei Shabbat, a graduate of Mir Yeshiva. Would you ever believe such a thing? If it was up to me, I would order the entire nation of Israel. I don't want to even continue the sentence. But definitely to fall on the floor and to cry for a week that we came to generation that people who walks with the alphabet of Rashi Yeshivot and they are doing the job of the Erev Rav, the Zera Amalek. What's boiling in his heart? He knows that Shulchan Aruch says it. He knows Rambam says it. He knows every other posek in this generation, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Ovadia, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul. He knows that everyone who asked them the question in the Shelot V'Tshuvot, in the Shutim, they all answer the same answer. Why it was so urgent for him? To make those Reshaim stay in their wicked way. Why? Why is it? What's happening here? What happened to the Ashkafa of the Frum people? Why is it possible that a person who stands and defends a mohel that Rav Eliashiv is defending is already a subject of criticism? Why is it? If the Gdol Ador said that this mohel, even though the goyim were trying to ban Brit Mila, you know, if you remember a year or two ago, he claimed one mohel has herpes. Because of him, the mohel got sick. Mohel that made thousands of circumcision, tzaddik. So if the Gdol Ador defend him, and another one of us will quote the Gdol Ador, nobody respects the Gdol Ador, says it's the right thing to do. Nothing. No, nobody cares what he said, Bechlal. What's going on here? Politics. It starts to go to a situation like this, that if one newspaper comes to interview you about something about Kedusha, the next one already targets you as an enemy. Why? Because you spoke for the competition. What was the purpose of speaking to them? Maybe we can be mekarev another 5,000-6,000 Jews to become Shomrei Mitzvot. What are we all fighting for? What are we all living for? Not for the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How is it possible that the army split to different groups and everyone fight against everyone instead of the enemy, the real enemy? How is it possible that I go to a place and give lecture and 350 frum from Bert are coming to the lecture and they take more than 1,200 CDs and not one of them, one, offer to give $1 to support Kiruv of our brothers and sisters that are totally lost? What's going on here? How is it possible such a thing? How is it possible that a person is a lover of Hashem and you know there are so many lost Yidden out there and nobody cares about Kiruv? One out of 1,000 maybe care in a Frum community. How is it possible? How is it possible not only that they don't care, some of them even make fun? Baalei Tshuva, Kiruv. Baalei Tshuva, defected people. Baalei Tshuva. They forgot that some of Gdolei Ador are Baalei Tshuva. The biggest Kabbalist in the world is a Baal Tshuva. He's teaching all the Rebbes Kabbalah. And many others. Big Dayanim, Talmidei Chachamim, Tzadikim, real Tzadikim, not fake. Regardless, even if they're not good, they're not as religious. Half religious, 60%. What is not your brothers and your sisters? What is going on here? So the question that we have to ask, what's going on? The divorce rate skyrocketing. There's an epidemic in a community. I don't know if you know what's going on. It's terrible what's happening. If this is going to continue the way it is, we will get chas v'shalom to a situation like the secular people. We're behind them 20 years, that's it. What's 20 years? It's not even one generation in a statistic. A secular person, there's not one reason for him to get married today. Not one reason to justify marriage. Only problems it will bring to him and to his wife. And to the terrible, horrible, poor kids that will be born. It's a massive tragedy. Because what's happening in their homes? Abuse, cursing, violence, 911, police every day, Chilul Hashem. I don't want to tell you the rest of the things from your honor, what I see, what's happening. But what's going to be with us? What are we going to, we're going to be like them in 20 years from now? The new generation who get married and right away almost everybody else is here. Divorce, 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 divorce. Visit one day in a Batei Din in Queens and Brooklyn, see what happened over there. But it's not just divorce, it was nice meeting you, be matzliach. It's an atomic war. It's 10 years of massive fight that families are destroying each other. Why it's going on? What's going on? I don't know, anyone can come and put his finger on a problem. What's the source of all these problems? We have a lot of Torah learners. There are people who's Kovei 18, they learn Torah, they love Hashem. I'm sure we try to love Hashem, it's not so simple. But at least we try to love Hashem. The question that I'm asking is, what is the source of the problem? What is going on here? How is it possible that little children who goes to the best yeshivot in America live a double life? On one hand they have cards of Gdolei Torah and in the other pockets cards of the filthiest people in the universe. Some kind of heroes that knows how to throw a ball or anything like this. And you ask these children which you would give up. You have to give up one pocket. I want to believe that they'll give up the other pocket, but something inside of me unfortunately tell me that they will prefer that. And I'm not talking little kids who doesn't understand. I'm talking older already. So what's going on here? We live in a generation that a woman in our town, she went to put her daughter in yeshiva. And they asked her, why you don't have a wig? And she said, because I prefer to cover my hair fully, without a wig. And the woman over there said, it's not the place for you, we cannot accept you. And that's considered a very, very orthodox place. Why is it? If one person wants to do it 100%, not 90%, it's better. It's no question about it. What's more modest? You want to change reality because you're doing one thing in one way and someone does it a little better than you, so he's wrong? Why don't you just say he's better than me a little bit? And Bezrat Hashem, one day I'll be like him. That's the right way. Kinat sofrim tarbe chokhma. Not everyone who does the right thing automatically becomes your enemy. That's what the Gemara said before Mashiach would come. Kinat sofrim tisrach. That people will not be able to stand the tzaddikim. They're allergic to him. And I'm not talking secular people. From them, what do I expect? Ask them if they know what they live for. They have no idea. I'm talking people from us, our brothers and sisters and cousins and neighbors and who knows who else. The Torah says, Ve'avtem et hager, should love the converts, the real converts, those who gave their life to convert. There are many communities among us, not only they don't love the ger, they don't let them in the shul. They do everything they can to make them, show them the way out. How can a person do such a thing? The Torah says 36 times. What? Hashem has a say here? Oh, Hashem, it's not relevant anymore, Chas v'shalom. Does Hashem mean something? If the Torah says 36 times to love them, what, didn't Hashem know it's going to be a horrible generation with so many nisyonot? He knew it. It's still wrote in the Torah, to love, to help, not to deceive, to show the way. And if you do it, you become a rasha. You're not welcome in our community. Why? Because you speak for it. It's against our agenda. We don't want. Not only we're not making conversions, it's against the law by us. If someone got converted by an Orthodox, big three rabbis in the world, take the top three Gdolei Ador to convert this guy and make him a Jew, they still don't want him in their shul. And then if somebody come and scream, it's against Hashem. It's Avel, Hashem doesn't want it. So automatically it's a mitrad. You know what mitrad means? It's a burden. This is what's happening. It's a burden. We live in a generation that person that does kiruv go to a place and give few good lectures and the people becoming Shomer Shabbos and putting tefillin and waking up. And then somebody from a cult with a very nice beard come there the next day and say, don't listen to him. There's no such thing a wicked Jew. There's no such thing Mechalel Shabbos. There's no such thing Chiloni. You're all tzaddikim. You for sure go to heaven, don't worry. And what happened the next day? They all go back to be goyim. And this person and his group receiving all the money of the kiruv from the world. Why? Because the Satan is a genius. He knows how to fool us. Satan doesn't want people to do tshuva. He wants the money to go on nonsense, on posters, on calendars, on all kinds of other things. So the Satan said, very good. If this person come claiming to be Mekarev and someone who already became Shomer Shabbos, he's making everything he can to bring him back to be Mechalel Shabbos, I have to make sure all the budgets go to this guy. Of course, that's what's going to be. And that's reality. 20 years of experience, hour by hour, day after day, everywhere, all over the world. And nobody makes a beep. Do you understand what's happening here or no? Anybody here get what I say b'chlal or no? Or maybe I came from a different planet. Maybe I see a different world than what you see. Let's be honest. Anything I say so far, anyone disagree? Please tell me. I want to know. I want to check what people think. Don't be embarrassed. There's one thing I said so far. Do you think I made it up? I'm exaggerating. I'm dreaming. I'm hallucinating. Please tell me. I want to know. Anyone? So anyone here can suggest what's the source of the problem? Because you know, you cannot cure any sickness without recognizing first the source of the problem. You cannot recognize the source, you can make a lot of experiments, the body is still sick. Try this, try that. Maybe you'll get lucky one day. Maybe something will help. A good doctor is the one who diagnosed the problem, not making experiments on his patients.
Maybe there's not a real awareness of Hashem or a real love for Hashem too much.
That's obvious. I mean, we know that.
I think it's a lack of korat hatov. Oh. Gratitude.
Everything you say, I agree with you 100%. Lack of gratitude, not enough love for Hashem. But I'm asking, let's try to find the source, the main source. Hakar HaZatov is very important, but what is the main source of what's happening? I think that the words of the Chafetz Chaim 100 years ago is right to the target. what is the source of the problem? The source of the problem is 100 years ago, the Chafetz Chaim got all the rabbis and he told them, I made a convention here because I want each one of you to recognize there's a problem. What's the problem? 100 years ago. I don't know if the Chafetz Chaim lived today, if he would even bother to make this convention, because probably he would already say, it's a lost case already. But 100 years ago when it started, the Chafetz Chaim said, in the previous generations, all the speakers spoke about one topic. You didn't have to ask the speaker, what is the topic? 100 years ago, nobody dared to ask the lecturer, what is the topic of the lecture? Only today, 500 times before you come to speak, everybody asks 5 times, what is the topic? Tomorrow again, what is the topic? What is the topic? God forbid, maybe you speak about a topic that he learned when he was 13 years old. Not to waste time. What is the topic? In the old days, nobody had to ask what is the topic because all speakers spoke about one topic. You know what it was? Chafetz Chaim, not me. I saw it, my eyes lit when I saw it. Chafetz Chaim says, everyone spoke about reward and punishment, heaven and hell, on the table, no games, no covering up, no nonsense, none of these things. This is what you're going to get if you go. This is what you're going to go if you go against Hashem. No in between. Today, everything became gray. No, it's not such, no, it's not like that. Not everyone agree. Everything is sugar-coated. This is not so problem. Yeah, that's also good. That's what's happening. I went to speak in a place. They wanted to put a microphone inside the shul on Shabbat. It's a very big place. 3,000 people come there. 1 week before the lecture, the people who organized it could not sleep all week. Why? Because the wicked people want to turn the shul to conservative. They gave the fight of their life to cancel the event. Why? Because they know that all the people over there get very strong from the lectures, from the CDs over the years. Another visit from this crazy guy, they'll become even more religious. If we have a dream to put a microphone here on Shabbat, the dream is gone. You should have seen what they did. You will never believe such thing that Jews behave like this. Tomorrow I'm going to Florida. I had 7 events in 4 days. 2 of them got canceled. Why? Bunch of wicked people from time of the most wicked people in the history. I myself never believed there are wicked people like this in the world. All the lowlifes gathered together and made a cult. And they made their mission in life. What is it? To cancel the lectures. God forbid, maybe more people become Shomrei Shabbat. Why is it? Because there's finally someone who comes and say the truth. What does it mean to be Mechalel Shabbat? What does it mean to marry Christine? What does it mean to have a microphone in a shul? What does it mean to come with a car to the shul, that it's better to stay home than to do such a horrible avon? Now, what would you expect? If there are rabbis who are there in charge, the first thing you would expect, you don't want to help? Be quiet. Nobody asks you. You don't want to help? This is your job, to help, to make people balei tshuva. It's not one person for the whole world. Everyone who becomes a leader of a community, it's his obligation. All the blood would get spilled when these people would leave this world reshaim. It's all, it nitfas be'avonam. It all goes to his account. What is he dreaming about? So finally, someone come to do the dirty job. Instead of helping, what do? Join together with this call to cancel. One lecture was transferred in 24 hours to 3 different places. Not to talk about the money of tzedakah who goes to the garbage to reprint flyer, to send people to get another place and another place. This is people that claim that they connect to religion, not people on the beach who have no idea that they're even Jews. This is what's happening today. In the time of the Chafetz Chaim, it was very obvious. Chafetz Chaim say like this. In previous generation, when people came to speak, they would speak about serious thing. That's to be a tzaddik or to be a rasha. This is going to be your end. constantly motivating the people to do the right thing. With strong hand, no baloney, real strong hand. When a rabbi went to a place, people were shaking. When this chacham spoke in Yeshivat Torat Yosef, Rav Or Letzion, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, every one of the rabbis that used to be his talmidim will tell you the same thing. When he walked to the room, you felt the electric in the air. You're afraid to sneeze. Not chas v'shalom that he was a tough guy. The most humble person down to earth. Get on a bus, nobody would, if you don't know who he is, you would never believe he's a rav. The way he dressed, everything so simple, get on a bus. But those who knew who he is, will shake. Why? Like this, no games, no politics, no nothing. There's one tzaddik that passed away a few months ago, by now is a year almost, that had a community that he was there for about 15 years. Private villa, private mikveh, money up front. Every time he arrived there, people send online to give him the checks. And then 15 years ago, they came to ask him to go and fight against someone, a Baal Tshuva, that said something and he was right. And all the mafia did not like to hear it. So they wanted this tzaddik to eliminate that one, that he will never make a beep. So he went to meet with him before he went against him, not like today, right away they put, they destroy you before you even heard what you have to say. So he went to speak to him, they met. After 10 minutes, he told him, what's going on? You're right 100%. You are the tzaddik, they are the reshaim. He went back to them and he said, my feet will never step ever in your place, in your shul, in the home, in the mikveh, and I don't want any one of your money. He gave a fortune for the truth. No games. This is a tzaddik. Not someone, oh, who is with me? Who is against me? What am I going to get from him? What am I going to get from her? He's in a board. He's going to get upset. That's what's happening today. The Torah is the last thing in the list. I don't want to upset a board member. Why is married to Goya? If you speak about it in our shul, they get offended. So why don't we just cancel the Torah and that's it? And we go and be goyim if we cannot say what the Torah say. Yeah, let's just cancel the Torah. Maybe it's a better idea. No one would fight with anyone. Everyone would do whatever they want. Someone wants to come and scream the word of Hashem, instead of saying, you know what, we are wrong, at least let him. I have a friend, he's a rabbi in a community somewhere. He told me, I want you to come give a lecture about tznius in my community. So I asked him, why don't you give? You know just as much or more than me. So he said, if I'll speak, tomorrow I'll be fired by the board. Why? All their wives is naked. They come to the shul like this. I'm going to speak like this. Tomorrow they'll fire me. So what's better? I get fired and the place will be even worse? So now I'll bring you in. You say all the truth. They get very angry. That will be the first and last time I ever invite you. And I'll blame you, but at least the message will go in. Why? I'm afraid from Hashem, he said. That's my job. But I'm stuck. I'm between heaven and earth. On one hand, if I say something, I'll be on the street. So what did I gain? What Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say? Oy lim omar, oy lim lo omar. When he looked at our generation. So before the Mashiach come, oy. If I'll say, or if I won't say. It's like a catch-22. So you come, you speak. At least when I come in front of Hashem, Hashem will tell me, why you never spoke about tznius? So Hashem, you know why? My hands were tight, but I brought a specialist to speak. I didn't neglect it. We have another problem today. There are places, communities, that they don't let anybody from outside speak. Who knows why? Someone wants to come give Divrei Torah. Why they don't let him speak? Nobody. Doesn't matter who he is. This one, that one, this one. No, nobody is good. 100 names, not one is good. Why? Tell me why. Who knows why? You have an idea why or no? No?
Might say something he doesn't agree with. So you eliminate everybody.
That's okay. You can say something you disagree with. I spoke in Bells in Israel. I said something. The Rosh Yeshiva there did not like it. He took the microphone in the end in a very nice way. And he said to them, by us Hasidim, what the Rav said doesn't apply. I'm sure he did not mean. Okay, you can argue with him. He's right, I'm right, doesn't matter. No problem, legit. Nobody kills anyone. I see him tomorrow, I'll hug him and kiss him, no problem. He'll think this, I think that. End of story. It's the first time in the Torah is machlokot. That's not the reason why they don't want. Why? If a speaker says something you don't like, tomorrow the rabbi say, well, by the way, we are here not agreeing with this and this. We're not talking you bring reform and conservative is going to tell you it's mitzvah to drive on Shabbat and to eat rabbits. Well, now, there's a limit, right? You check who the person is, more or less, what he does, where he learned, where he teach. You know, more or less, yes, you cannot be responsible for every beep he makes. The answer is, he's afraid to lose his job. Why? He gets $200,000 a year. If someone from the outside would come and give a good lecture and the people would like it, by the way, the Lashon Hara would begin. Why are we paying him so much? What does he give here? He doesn't speak. And they're afraid to lose their job, so they don't let. But where is the emunah in Hashem? So let's say he loses his job. Let's say it would happen. What's the emunah in Hashem? The emunah means that you have to do the right thing regardless of your personal situation. When it's colliding, the truth and your wish are becoming an opposite, you have to eliminate your wishes and your hopes and your convenience and what you like or what you don't like. You have to eliminate it completely for the emes. That's what it means to be a Jew. Yehudi, modeh al ha'emet. Le'olam yeh adam yireh shamayim baseter kevagalui. U'modeh al ha'emet, u'dover emet bilvavor. Everything emet, 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 even in his heart. Whether he likes the emet, whether he doesn't like it. Whether it's going to pay him millions, whether it's going to make him lose. The emet is above everything. Now, if we get something in a way that it's not emet, we really believe it's going to stay by us, the price for it will be a lot worse later on. Ma, can get something against Hashem and see a blessing in it? A person that steals is going to see blessing in his stealing? Yeah, he's going to build a building. Yeah, he lives 20, 30 years like a king. But does he really believe that all these things that he made from all the stealing, does he really believe that eventually, the bottom line, in the end, it would benefit him? What about what the Torah said, you have to pay double for what you stole? It's like a loan. You borrow it. Now you have to pay double. Double. And in the end, get the punishment for the stealing. That's besides the paying double. An extra punishment for hurting them, from hurting her, from hurting all these people you stole from. And not to talk about if in the end someone will get angry and kill you. It also happened a lot. That for $100 people kill each other. That's what's happening today. What happened? Or they hire all kinds of mafia people and they do the job. You know how many people get killed because of lousy few $1,000s? You're not going to believe. People kill each other for money, for little money. I remember one time the person that wanted to make my CDs, he wanted to sell the business. So one Haredi, father and his son came from birth. And they told him, okay, how much you want for the business? He told them the price. How much the business make? He shows them all the income, the expenses. The business wasn't making a lot of money. Basically, I was his main customers because I make CDs every day. But yes, from other organizations that annual dinner once a year, once a fundraising, you know, they have once a year a big order, once a year. And people who order every day, not that many he has. So they ask him, I think he asked for the price is too much. So he said to them, let me tell you something. You know, you see all these CDs? He showed them all the CDs here. Torah and Science, The Debate, Life After Death, Shabbat, all these lectures who made so many thousands of people frum. He said to them, all the frum people, many of them came from this room. It's not only a financial opportunity. It's an eternal spiritual opportunity that you're going to have the merit to make all these CDs who save so many lives every year. So what is the guy told him? Ah, that's good for the books. Now let's talk tachles, business. That's what he said to this Baal Tshuva. It was 12 years Baal Tshuva, the owner of the factory. And he's from birth, at least 50 years old or more. And his son, both of them. Ah, that's good for the books. But then it's not only them, it's all of us. There is the life of the books, and that's our life. and not always is the same life. Not always. We lie to ourselves. We always lie to ourselves, constantly, one lie after the other. I'm this, I'm a matmid, I'm a matmid, I'm tzanua, I'm anav, I'm bal tzedaka, I am. I have a reason for that, and I have a reason for that. There's a heter for this, there's a heter for that. It's bal tashchit, this, that rabbi, this was his opinion. The question is, the bottom line is it possible the person would think he's form all his life and in the end he's gonna get very surprised. I'll tell you what happened. One time there's a person, he was about to go into the shower in a second floor in his house. And his wife called him up. She said, Moishi, what? I think I left the eggs boiling downstairs on the fire. I'm afraid something will happen. Can you go put the fire off? Now he was already half naked going to the shower. So he's thinking to himself, wow, I have to go all the way down now. I'm alone in the house. He's thinking, well, I'm going to get redressed now, put my things, my t-shirt, my tzitzis, my dress shirt, my shoes. It's 5 minutes walk. Let me go quickly like that. I run and I do it and I quick. I'm alone. He ran quickly. Soon as he turned into the living room, the light went on. 300 people quiet in the room. Surprise! And he's standing like this, taking picture until they realize what happened. That's what happened to the brothers when they faced Yosef, the same shock. Lo yachlu la'anot mipanav, ki nivalu mipanav. Chazal say, charada gdola, same thing Yitzchak. When Yitzchak found out all his life he supported Esav, and then he saw that Hashem did not think like him, that Hashem wanted Yaakov to get the bracha. Vayecherad charada gdola. Got the shock of his life. Chazal said the shock that the brothers got in front of Yosef, this is the shock that a person gets when he gets to Yom Adin. What a shock. Wow, actually my whole life was a dream. My whole life was a lie. But I thought I'm very ultra-Orthodox. I was walking with Gemara everywhere. All of a sudden Hashem did not agree. Everything I thought is shogeg is really mazid. Most of the time, we're sure that what we did is shogeg. But if you really check it carefully, you see that many of them is mazid, not shogeg. I know whatever I say may irritate some people. It's better they get irritated now than get the shock of their life in 10, 20, 30 years from now. Why? Somebody smack you. The doctor speaks to his patient and tells him, you need a surgery, you need a surgery, your time is running out, you need a surgery. And the patient is taking his time. So the doctor realizes this guy is not taking me serious. So what does he do? He begins to scream like Mishugine, takes the file, throw it in it. You don't get it! You have 48 hours to live! Screams! The patient got nervous. Whoa, wait a minute, look at him. I'm really about to die. He went to the surgery and his life got saved. Then the doctor comes and sits with him, l'chaim, says, see, remember how you got irritated when I screamed? Thanks to that, you're alive. The irritation saved your life. It can be a long, very long dream. Again, a person gets into it's a routine. It's routine, the same scenes every day, routine. Not realizing, what am I doing? One way to indicate if we are on the way and we're close to Hashem is to record us one day. If there is a recorder that can record everything you speak in one day, from the time you woke up until you go to work, you speak to people, Jews, non-Jews, this, on a bus. If you record yourself one day, then you know more or less where you stand. How much from what you speak is with Hashem, and how much what you speak is all Dvarim Betelim. Dvarim betelim. The ksil means a fool. Mistakel al hadavar ha'arev ve'amatok. He's looking at how delicious is the food. The wise is looking how healthy is the food. How is going to make me strong, not what's the taste. The fool that buys a car, check the car from the outside, how pretty it is. How nice the seats are. Beautiful leather, sunroof, nonsense, all these things. Wow, beautiful stereo. It doesn't check the engine and the transmission. The smart, first of all, come to the most important thing, engine and transmission. Then we worry. Scratches, this, car, seats. How many people buy car? How beautiful they make them in the auction. They wash them. It looks like a brand new car. And the engine is finished. Well, as soon as you start it, the entire area is smoked. What they say, אל תסתכל בקנקן, אלא מה שבתוכו. Don't look at the outside of the pot. What's inside? One person was laying in a hospital with a serious diabetic. They give him shots and pills every day. And the doctors do not understand why his situation does not improve. They're not balancing his situation, stabilizing it. All the specialists come, they check. Usually the shots and the pills helps right away. One doctor was smart. He told him, can you sit, Rega? Don't lay on the bed, get up. He picked up the pillow. Under the pillow was all packs of chocolate. They're giving him shots and pills to save his life from diabetes. What does he do? As soon as they go, they eat chocolate. So the question that I ask, you want to die? Die. Why are you wasting their time? Shots, pills. You're eating chocolate. You have to make up your mind. We all like this. Morning, shachris, kavana, dafyomi, whatever. 2 hours later, cheating, stealing. No emuna, fighting with the competition. Shame on you, you stole my customer. 2 hours fight. 2 hours ago, I ate Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, now you became what? Same thing. Get the shot to save his life, eat chocolate to ruin his life. Living in a conflict. One more thing, there is something very dangerous. What is it? Imagination. There are people who live with some kind of imagination that it gets to a point that they cannot really see that it's an imagination. They really believe what they see in their imagination, but doesn't exist. It's a very common thing. People are imagining things. I have emails that I get from Jews and non-Jews that they 1,000,000% sure that Hashem speaks to them like prophets every day. You should see the email they write. They write, mamash, the prophecies of Yeshayah and Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. Each one of the emails, and Hashem told me this, and Hashem told me that, and Hashem told me that. And they really believe it. So they, okay, you said this is crazy people. No, what can you do? Why do you take it serious? But we also live in imagination. What? No, we don't live in imagination? Do we really think that we go to Passover to Miami by a nice hotel by the beach when half of the people around us are naked and the other half are all kinds of idol worshippers and the food is glad, kosher, delicious, everyone puts his show? Do we really think that this is what Hashem meant when he said to sit in Leila Seder with your children and speak about Yitziat Mitzrayim? Do we really believe it? I'm wondering that all these people who go to these fancy places when there's a big doubt if Bechlal, De Yotzeli, De Chova, and all kinds of other things. The question is, are they really believe it or they know? But they say, you know, let's pretend. Is it really? I did a Pesach LeMehadrin. I went to some hotels. You know how many challenges? I go to seminars, I go to hotels, I see what's happening there. See what's happening there in the lobby. I see what's happening everywhere. I see in the bar what's happening. You want to walk with your son 2 steps in a hotel, it's sakanat nefashot. What is he going to see? 1 minute, what he see over there can rule his entire life. 20 years of learning Torah, it may already got to his head. Oh, there's a different life there. And not to talk about other places, and mamash is on the beach. Mamash, from your window, you see 5 minutes away from you. The holiest holiday inside Leila Seder, Pesach, this is it. You walk out of the hotel and you see everyone walks like this. First of all, I remember I went to a place one time when there's no religious people in the area. There's a few shuls, but one, maybe less than a week I was there, I fell one morning, I got up, I didn't have cheshek to go to Minyan. Maybe today I pray at home. Why? The atmosphere of the place already make you so weak. Right away, the kfira starting to go inside of you. Who, a person that 20 years teach against kfira, 1 week in a place like this begin to have second thoughts. One day without Kaddish, one day without Baruchu. What is it? The place, the atmosphere of the place. The Rachal writes in Mesilat Yesharim, Perek Yud Gimel, it says, Kadesh Atzmach Bamutar Lach. There's allowed, there's not allowed. To eat meat, it's allowed. Everyone understands if you sit and eat meat all week, all year round, it's already a big problem with you. You eat cream cakes all day, once in a while, you eat a little dessert, fine, you're not an angel. But all day, all day, all day, everybody understands, this guy is addicted already. Some people thought that maybe Hashem is interested that I will torture myself. To the opposite side. Fasting, torturing myself all day, not taking showers, walking barefoot, ripped clothes. Sakfan, it's called Sakfan, Gilgulei Sheleg, taking his shirt off in the snow. Now there was a big snowstorm in Yerushalayim a few weeks ago. Hundreds of people went, took their clothes off and were rolling on the snow. Gilgulei Sheleg. Just imagine if the Chilonim would pass by and see it. What a damage it would cause. Think about it. See a person with a beard and a yarmulke and tzitzit coming out, takes it off and roll on the ice. Oh, and scream. And then tomorrow he's sick for a week, cannot go to Kollel. Already lost 600,000 mitzvot every day, multiplied by 6 days. 3.6 million mitzvot he lost. For some idea that nobody knows really where it came from, to torture yourself. Christians are very good with inventing things like this. Let's call Yotzes Charo Befsedo. So far you agree with me? Don't have to agree with me. It's also not a good sign if everyone agree. I saw in one place, he said, how do you know if the speaker is good? If some people like him and some people cannot stand him, that's a good sign. Everyone likes him, it's a bad sign. Everyone hates him, also a bad sign. But if some like, some don't like, fine. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, some people didn't like him. So what happened? Jealousy, politic, spoke against him. Hashdu bo ve'eshet ish. Can you believe such thing? Can you believe it? Imagine someone come to you and say, I'm suspecting, I don't want to even say the name, one of Gdolei Ador, that he went with the Chas v'Shalom, a married woman from the community. This guy has to be, I don't know, maybe put him in a mental institution for the rest of his life. But we are talking people that are in a very high level against the greatest person ever lived. Suspected him in stealing, suspected him in Eshet Ish, suspected him in politics, suspected him that he does the opposite of what Hashem ordered him. Complain, food, this, that. Okay, complaints, fine. Complaints another level of... ממש בלי, מוציא לו שם רע. Speaking against him.
Rabbi, why do you think there's only one way to be Mekarev people?
You tell me what's the other way. Let's hear.
They're the same organizations that you're rallying against, they're Mekarev people. They're people that come out of
possible.
Those things, then they're thrown for life. They're hooked. They're very strong in their emunah and they do Torah mitzvah straight up. You know, they don't have, not because of fear, but because of Ahavat Hashem. You know, there's also a level of Yirat Hashem, not out of fear, pachad, but Yirat, Romamut. And there's also Ahavat Hashem.
Very good point. I'm telling you from 20 years of experience, for every 100 people that you would meet, maximum 5 of them are the type that if you speak to them only about the love of Hashem, it will be productive. 95 will only begin to change when you tell them, my friend, this is the price that eventually you would need to pay. Do you want to continue to live like that and pay the price? Yes or no? The Torah is full of warnings. Obviously, there are much more warnings in the Torah than reward. much more punishments than reward, much more be careful, you should not, there's more restrictions than mitzvot aseh. So Hashem is very strict in the Torah. Now, yes, of course, I also speak a lot about the Olam Haba, the beauty of it, the greatness of Shabbat, great to be religious. In this life, it's much better already. Forget about the afterlife. Over here, it's very important to speak about this thing, about the values, about what you gain, about the peace of mind, less heart attacks, less divorce, less. All the negative by us is less than them. You cannot argue with that. Speak about it all year around for 20 years. But I also said that Mechalel Shabbat v'nichreta nefesh ha'im Yisrael, which I don't remember I heard anyone say it in the last 5 years. No one dared to say it. Okay, if you don't want to say, don't say. But if someone read a sentence from the Torah, what bothers you so much? Now, about the second thing you brought up. Yes, everyone that claimed that they do Kiruv, eventually they do some Kiruv. Even the Kabbalah Center, that they all Mechalelei Shabbat and Intrefot, I know people, they made them religious. Not intentionally. They opened their eyes, and then these people realized it's all a scam, and they came to us, and we did the job, finished the job. But they prepared them for us. That was 1, 2, 3. Because they already prepared them for the idea there is Hashem, there is Torah, there is Kabbalah. And until they came to us and we showed them what the Torah really say. Not what they say, they come with a car on Shabbat to give a lecture on Kabbalah. And the person got the point. I had a brother and sister, 7 years they were there, 7 years. And after 7 years, we went to a place here in Monsi for Rosh Hashanah. My family here. I see the guys wear all white, white yarmulke. He does all kinds of things, holding his ears. I look at the Sidur, all kinds of names. So I said, this guy doesn't look to me so religious. Why does he have all these things? He does a lot of weird things. So I asked him, what is this? He told me, that's the Sidur of the Rashash. It's all Kavanot. One word, 200 Kavanot of Malachim, of the Shemot HaKodesh. So I said to him, where did you learn that? He said, Kabbalah Center. I said to him, how are you there? He said, 7 years. I said, I don't see that you're hardly religious. You're just beginning to keep. He said, why not? I asked him, tell me, what bracha achrona you say on a cake? Those cakes on the table. If you ate now this amount of cake, what bracha you make? He said, that's not bread. I said to him, I know it's not bread. Bread, you say Birkat Amazon. What bracha you say for that? So I didn't know you have to make a bracha. 7 years over there. $100,000 he donated, him and his sister. That's what made him realize that it's all fake. The question about bracha achrona. Told him, ask all the little kids here, look at all the Hasidish kids, go, 5 years old, 4 years old. Ask him what bracha you make on a cake. Ask everyone. He realized, I said to him, you don't understand that it's all scam? So now let me answer you something. There are many different mekarvim, yes. The question is, you have to compare the amount of money they raise and how much production they're produced, just like in everything else in life. If you have a company and you see the CEO of the company and your investor invested by you $100 million and in the end you made them $100,000 to all of them combined, they kick you not out of the window, they kick you out of this world after all the promises. But if you invest $100,000 and they made you $300 million, so now, the people who made $100,000 based on an investment of $300 million, so we made $100,000. Do you know how much it is? Compared to how much you collected, it's nothing. If you have $500 million budget in the last 20 years, and a person that has in the entire 20 years maybe $200,000 budget compared to $500 million, and you compare this and this, the idea is to use the little money that we have to save these souls. So of course, there are people who are searching to become religious. They'll see a religious person on the street. Excuse me, where does a shul here? You know, there's one Mexican guy, he came from Mexico, accidentally landed in Borough Park. He didn't know where to get off the bus. He started to see a lot of Hasidim. Never saw people like this in his life. So he went to them, said, excuse me, what are you? He said, we Jews. This is the way all the Jews look. So one Hasid told him, I wish. So he told him, what are you doing now? It was Friday evening. They were all on the way to Shul, to Shabbos. He said, we're going to pray. You praying? Can I see how you pray? This guy, what does he want from me? So do whatever you want. What can I tell you? So he followed him. He came. He snuck into the shul. Sitting over there, he see the singing. Today is a speaker in Israel. He's making many balei tshuva. He converted. Became chazek harabim. He made a lot of people religious, this guy. He was searching. Now you said the chassid that walked by and told him, I'm going to pray, he is Mekarev. He made him Baal Tshuva. In reality, you're right. That's not the Kiruv we are talking about here. You know what it means, Kiruv? Let me tell you what Kiruv means. Kiruv means that you have a person who hates Hashem, hates the Torah, hates the religious people, hates everything that smells Jewish, and you sit with him 2 or 3 hours and you give him a few CDs and DVDs and you argue back and forth. And after 3 weeks, he puts tefillin and starts keeping Shabbat. That's Kiruv. Everything else is nonsense. Because most of our brothers and sisters are like this. You know what brainwash they go through in Israel? Do you know what they say about religious people? I went in the Golan Heights, I saw a sign, go back to the gas chambers. In Israel. Like this, big sign. The media is constantly brainwashing the people. If a person wants to search for religion, of course, any shul in his area is going to come there and become religious. That's a made product. But I'm not talking only about this. Baruch Hashem, everyone who does any kind of kiruv, it's already better than nothing. I wasn't complaining about how much kiruv, which is also a problem. I was complaining about something else. I was complaining about taking people who started to keep mitzvot and promising them, you tzaddikim, because you Jews don't have to worry about punishment. There's no such thing. Hashem is merciful. There's no such thing, punishment. And they all went back to the goyot and put off the tefillin. One returned the tefillin. You know, one cut his ponytail. A month later, he went back. One was about to get married to a goya. He left her. 3 weeks later, he went back with her. Why? Because this is the nature of the people. There's police on the highway. They slow down. If you announce on the news that there's police today, everyone is on strike. People drive 80, 90 miles an hour. They want to get home fast. It's a big highway, New Jersey, Turnpike, Garden State, 6 lanes, 7 lanes. Nobody's in the street. There's brand new cars. You can zoom. Instead of 3 hours, it takes you an hour and a half. People would do it. Why they're not doing it? Police is hiding every mile. The idea that I'm going to pay the price make people do the right thing. You can never deny it. Everyone knows it. Someone who tried to deny it, he doesn't live in this planet. Why Hashem made punishment? Hashem enjoyed to torture people for doing the wrong things? Why? Hashem could have said, listen, you're going to listen to me, you have a huge reward in the afterlife. That's it. You don't listen, you lose the reward. One day you close your eyes like you thought, and you become sand. That's enough. It's already a huge punishment. But that's not a productive punishment. Why? When the people lose something, they don't know what it is, they don't feel bad. When the people feel something that they know right now it's good, then they feel bad. Let me explain to you what I mean. If the Torah says, "Va'atzar et ha'shamayim ve'lo yeh matar ve'avateh me'era ma'al haaretz ha'tova," people understand. There's no rain because we're not doing the right thing. Chas v'shalom, the rest of the sentence is about to happen. Let's do tshuva. But if the people would say, "One big deal, I do whatever I want. One day I die, I don't feel the suffering. One day I close my eyes. Okay, so I lost Olam Haba. At least I had everything I wanted here. Here comes someone like me and tell him, listen, first I prove to you the Torah is divine. That's step number one. Step number two, I show you the purpose of life according to the Torah. Step number three, I explain to you that every beep you make, it's either a reward or punishment. There's no in between. Why Hashem made punishment? To encourage the people. One father said to his son, the son said to him, "Abba, I want to go on a trip." So the father is traditional and the kid is secular. So the father said, "What do you need from me?" He said, "I need $5,000. I'm going to be 3 weeks away." So the father said, "Okay, I agree to give it to you in one condition, that you start putting your tefillin again." So the boy is thinking, "So okay, I'll put tefillin if that's what makes you happy." So here is the tefillin. "So okay, give me the money." He said, "No, no, no. I'm giving you only right now $200. You go on a trip, after 3-4 days you call me and you tell me if you put tefillin. I know it's a rara, you'll be with your friend, but you'll be honest. If you tell me you started to put tefillin, I'll send you the money. 3 days later, the kid call, Abba, no, you have the money ready? Say, you're putting tefillin every day? He say, yes, today was the 4th day already. It feels great, Abba. Yeah, you enjoy it? Good, mamash, meromem ta neshama, it's very good. Father said, let's wait 3 more days. Abba, don't play games, you usually keep your word. 3 months, don't worry, you get your money. Still have 2 more weeks after that. By the 7th day, Abba, the father asked, you know you put tefillin? Say, every day. So he said to him, okay, you're wiring the money? He said, yes. 3 more days later, it's already now 10 days, the boy called again, Abba, what, you playing games with me? Where is the money? He said to him, you fool. The money is in the tefillin pouch from the moment you left the house. This is the life. That's this story, it's our life. The blessing of Hashem is inside the mitzvot already. Already here, here. We play games. You understand? When I speak overall in general, of course there's always an exception to the rule. You cannot generalize that everyone is like this. When I talk about us, each one of us, hear what I say now, include myself, and see what's from what he say applies to me. I have to work on it. That's it. Obviously, I mean, technically, when we think, I'm sure that all of us, if you ask us, what do you want? You want all the secular Jews to do tshuva? Yes or no? I believe that all the Orthodox people in the world would answer yes. Unless if they're not normal. But I'm also hoping that we not only wish that it will happen, that we will do the right thing for it to happen. Because it's possible. I'll tell you why it's possible. If there are 2 million frum people and there's 11 million non-frum, how many non-frum each frum has to make Baal Tshuva? 5. 5.5. 5. That's it. 5. Think about it. Technically. Okay, so one will make 20 and the other one would make 2. Average I'm talking. 5. Now after two months, what would happen? Each one, there's already new Baalei Tshuva. Each one now has to make 2. 2.5. After a few more months, each one has to make 1. After a year or 2, that's it. Almost everyone. And the ones who are not, at least you know, they won't be. We did. We came to the maximum potential. Right now, we did not touch 90% of the secular Jews at all. We didn't touch them, Bechlal. Now, you tell me we don't have money for them? You don't know. Let's just say like this. If you take all the billionaires that I spoke in their homes in the last 20 years, forget all the other Jews in the world, just the amount of billionaires that I spoke in their homes, or the multimillionaire, and you take from them 20% from their annual income, just from this list, forget about the rest of the Jewish world. That's plenty of money that we can approach every Jew in the world. Every Jew in the world. Understand? Now, I have to give you, you don't have to agree with me, but at least you have to try to understand what I say. If I come and write you a check of $100,000 because you claim you're Mekarev, and I see that you took the $100,000 and you put a beautiful picture of your rabbi in West Side Highway that cost you $100,000 a month to put that sign over there. If I think that you're a criminal, I'm right or wrong?
Right.
Anyone think I'm wrong? That's what I'm talking about. So we have an agreement here. Now you understand? Now if you tell me, $100,000, $100,000 you gave me, I made this guy Shomer Shabbos. So it will be a little bit sugar in a poison. You understand? Yes, you have a point. You do certain things. But you could have done a million times more. Plus, there's one more other problem here. We do the calculation, what's good, what's wrong, what it pays, what doesn't pay. But what about Hashem? We always forget that Hashem knew all the possibilities. Everything. And he still wrote in the Torah, the only exception to the rule when it comes to Shomer Shabbat is Pikuach Nefesh. Why Hashem did not allow people who live far away from a shul to drive to the shul on Shabbat? They would make a second exception to the rule. Tfilah v'tzipur docha Shabbat. Right or wrong? Hashem knew there will be so many Jews who are far away from Shul. Yes. He knew we're going to live in such a generation. Yes. Why did he write in the Torah only life-saving, postpone Shabbat? Why did not write Tfilah v'tzibur aloud? And many other examples like this. Hashem knew everything. Hashem knew it's going to be people who will not hear one word of Torah here. And he wrote in the Torah certain things that are very strict for these people. So what? Do you think Hashem would do something in the Torah that will help some of the Jews and bury the other one? It's mitzvah ba'a ba'avera. If I do something and I save two Jews at the same time as I kill two, it's positive? What's positive about it? So if Hashem wrote in the Torah certain punishments and fear, yes, fear. The Ramchal says it's a higher level than love. Fear. Yirah, it's higher level. Even though it's two kinds of Yirah, Yirah Torah Mamut and Yirah Ta'onesh. The Rambam says Yirah Ta'onesh is level of women and children. Fine. I wish we all have fear. I wish we have fear. I promise you, we don't even have fear. You know what's the proof we don't have fear? If a policeman pull you over driving 80 on a Palisades, 2 o'clock at night, you feel your heart is going 200 a minute. Why? You're going to get $200 ticket and some points, and the insurance will be another $1,000 a year. It's already charav alav olamo. Sits there for half an hour, almost crying. Why? His hands are shaking. He cannot find the registration. Did it ever happen to you, chas v'shalom, when you turned the light on Shabbat by mistake? The same feeling like with the policeman. How long does a person cry when he's violating Shabbat by mistake? By mistake, not intentional. You know, I don't know if I said this story here. The Shamash of Rav Ovadia Yosef says, after he passed away, he said, one time I gave him by mistake the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam for Shachris. Rabbeinu Tam. And he put it with bracha. And after that, I realized I made a mistake. I came to him quietly. There was a lot of people around him. I said, Rabbi, I made a mistake. I gave it the Rabbeinu Tam by mistake instead of the Rashi. So the Rabbi made a very sad face and replaced the tefillin. And after everyone left, he told him, I'm begging you, be very careful that it will not happen ever again. And after that, he sat all day and cried like a baby with tears, all day until the night. So all day he didn't stop crying. I made bracha levatala, I made bracha levatala. That's Yirat Shamayim. How Yirat Shamayim came to him? How? I'm learning. Musar, Yirah, Avodat Hashem, Amal HaTorah. From working in a mall? From doing Pesach in Miami Beach? From that he got this Yirah? Yes or no? You answer me. You ask the question. You should answer. That's it. You agree, Baruch Hashem. We're not looking for just to agree with each other. We're looking what is the truth together. We're searching for the truth. I'm speaking all these ideas. I'm telling you, it's not my ideas, by the way. I mean, I develop it to our own language. But I see the roots of the things in the holy book. If I see what Rav Volbi say or Rav Ben Zion, or the Ramchal, or other Gdole Olam, and I see how everything they say compared to our life is like two different opposites. Somebody has to say something. Any questions before we finish? Yes. Louder, please.
I wish I could go in the car and change all the clothes. So it's very hard to just change all the clothes.
No, I didn't mean that every Jew has to become a speaker. There's different ways to be mekarev. One, to organize lecture. Second, to give money. Third, to help behind the scene. You know, I mean, sometimes I go to places, you should see what people are willing to do to help the lecture, and they don't even want any acknowledgement. They don't want that you mention their name. They run, they put the chairs, they first bring the chair, folding chairs in their car 10 times. They go back and forth. They set the chairs, they set the tripod. There's missing tripod, they run to the store. They buy it, they put it. They run, they put the CDs, they do anything you want. They serve you water, they run after the lecture, they fold the wires. Well, he's a guy, he has a job, he's a respectful guy. He feel, I want to be a part of this. It's called Tzav HaShaa. It's an emergency now. It's an emergency. We will disappear if we're not going to do it. The Satan in this generation is a killer. Look what's happening to so many frum people. Now they are not connected to the Torah every day. How many of them are falling? Look at the stories that you hear, what's happening. You know, you have to understand, there is a big bucket. Water going constantly in this bucket and water are dripping constantly. So the balance of the water is around 20% of the bucket. It goes to 21%, go to 19, go to 18, go to 22. This is what's the situation of the Jewish nation is right now. About 20% of the Jewish nation are Shomer Shabbos. 80% are Mechalel Shabbos, and the intermarriage is rising by the minute. Which means, if we're not going to do Kiruv full force, in 20 years we'll disappear. We'll disappear. Now you tell me, wait, but the religious people give birth to a lot of people. But every family contribute one or two secular to the secular people. You bring 8 Haredim, what's the statistic in Israel? One or two go off the derech. We already produced Chilonim who will fight against the Torah in 20 years. Half of the Israeli Knesset is Haredim, Leshavar, do you know it? The head of the Maharach, Herzog, his father was the chief rabbi. Should see how he speaks against religion. Avram Burg, he wants to burn the Torah. He'll give him the Torah with a torch, with no hesitation he'll burn the Torah. He called Yudah Maccabi a war criminal in public and television. This is the kind of apikors rasha. Works with a little yarmulke quarter. Was a member in Israeli Knesset for 20 years, fighting non-stop against yeshivot, against the Torah, against the rabbis. You understand? This is people who came out of religious people. Father had a big black yarmulke. He was Mizrahi, he was Shomer Mitzvot, learning Torah, knowing Torah. He was a rabbi. And look at his son, Pri-Be'ushim. Esav was a big tzaddik compared to him. Big tzaddik. We produce the other side also. They have one or two kids and a dog. We produce for them. Therefore, we have to produce for us. How? We give them, we have to take back. Otherwise, we'll disappear. You have to understand. At one point, the entire Jewish nation was 500,000 people. Do you know it? All over the world. Before the Holocaust, we were 17 million. It went down to 11 point something. And now after 60 years, the same number, 13.2 million Jews. Every day I get 5 or 6 messages, call this guy's Mary Goya tomorrow, call this girl, call this guy. One time I called a girl, after 3 hours I begged her with tears to leave the Goy. Apparently that Goy was some kind of a policeman. She sent that Goy to mess up my life, a Jew. I'm begging her to save her life as appreciation. She sent me this Italian go and say, one more time you call her, I will make you regret the moment you're born. I already know everything about you. Started to give me things and he checked about me in the police. You understand what's happening? This is what we're facing with. Not only they don't want to listen, it's horrible what's happening. If we're not going to do it, we will disappear. That's it. In the end, it will be a few hundreds, few thousand. Our children, they have a lot of temptation. We lose, as it is, a lot of our neshamot. So this is like what I say in a bucket. We're constantly dripping. If we're not going to constantly put water in 20 years, we'll disappear. There's no way to close the leak. The Yetzer is too strong. Internet, YouTube, Facebook, low modesty, lots of lie, very weak leaders, lots of politics, everyone needs each other. To recover such a thing, you need many, many years, my friend. It's not overnight like this. This is a patient that have 613 organs and ligaments in his body. 610 of them are sick. You have to start saving one organ by other, first kidney, then the second, then the liver, then the blood. That's where we're very sick. In every territory, we're sick. I have a friend, Rabbi Sapperman. He went to some of the yeshivot to convince them to change the learning program. He said, now in this generation, you have to teach the children emunah and to know that the Torah is from Hashem. Don't take it for granted that they believe in it. Maybe says, Do you know how much Kfirah there are in the world? You know what's happening? So now, he's trying to do as much as he could. He did some. Some of the yeshivot made some changes. So he has a point. He said to the Rebbe, go out. He asked a question in a class. In front of the Rebbe, nobody there to make a beep. And he said to the Rebbe, please now go out. Half of the class raised their hand. They're not sure if the story of Moshe Rabbeinu really happened. All the stories that they learned until now, they're not sure. They have questions. Understand? Now what happened? They grow up like this. Do you understand what the shock it is that you see a person that has a black hat, a long beard, peyos? It looks like an avrech that learns Torah 20 years. He comes to you with very thick Yiddish accent and tell me, don't look at me like this. I'm worse than a goy. Why? I'm a chalal Shabbos. I have a goya girlfriend. I do this. I do this. Tell me all things. And you should see how he looks. So I said to him, so what do you need all this for? He said, for my parents. I don't want to kill my father. I don't want to ruin the shiduchim for my parents. Not only that, he said to you, he admitted to you that he's publishing in the internet kfirah to all his friends from yeshiva to try to get them out of there. Why? Because I'm down, I take as many more people as I can go take down with me. Now, if this person will get the right education in yeshiva and prove to him, like what we do today with all these seminars that we do, we prove. But people really don't have what to answer against the proofs I show. They make a lot of noise, but inside, when it comes to the argument, they have no answers. You can bark as much as you want. So we try to save as much as we can. Baruch Hashem, I already arrived to places that I never believed in my life. They let me speak. The people in charge there, someone like me, is the complete opposite of their ideology. They look at me as Tzioni, Israeli, Baal Tshuva, this, no beard, no Yiddish. You know, I'm completely the opposite of them. How they allow me to speak in their big shul in the community? Because they saw what's happening. Yeah. You hide it, but inside you know it's an epidemic who grows. And they say, oh, he came to me and he said, this guy saved him and brought him back. Another one came. So the Rebbe sees, not blind. Oh, there is somebody who can do the job. I don't care if he's Ara, bring him. Bring him, let him serve the boys. That's a tzaddik. The politics right now is on the side. Why? We have to save souls. Not over there. Not only they don't help. They join the most wicked people to cancel the lecture. Why? Because they're afraid maybe somebody from the board will get offended that he's speaking about Mechalel Shabbos, not Meri Degoyim, or Reform conversion. You understand? I say the mother of Ariel Sharon, she was a Goya. Vera. Reform conversion. So what does it make Sharon? A Goy. Do you know how many people wants to kill me? Why are you angry? His mother never kept mitzvot. What is it, Reform conversion? What? The person who sits there in a bedin, I don't want to tell you what he does. He can make someone a Jew? So what's the point? They're not hiding it. They say, Vera, Rash, and Goya. He came to Israel. For instance, the son of Herdel, Hans, he called him. He put a tree in his house. He sent him to a church to learn. Herzl, the big hero. So, you know, this whole thing. He wrote a letter to the Pope, give us some time, we'll make all the Jews Christians, and like this, we'll avoid the anti-Semitism. When he married a Goya, they got angry. Not from a religious point of view, from the religion point of view, no. From the civil points of view. You're betraying your nation. Forget about Hashem. As a nation, you betrayed us. So he wrote to them, why are you such hypocrite? Didn't you see how my father lived? We lived 100% like Christians. Why are you getting upset that I married Christians? Well, you know what was his end? He committed suicide. But you understand the problem that we have right now? I speak. I don't have the power to change the world. I wish I had. Or at least some of it. It goes 20 here, 30 there, 50 there, 100. It adds up, Baruch Hashem, to many thousands. But what's 1,000 compared to 11 million who still need to come back?
It's 1,000 more than zero.
Obviously.
Baruch
Hashem, Baruch Hashem, that it's better than nothing, like you say. But you know what it's like? It's like someone who knows he has to climb on a 100th floor and he finally made it to the second floor. So you say to him, don't look at the 98 that you still have to climb. Look at the 2 floors you climb already. You're right, it's a point. But nature of the person is how much more I have to go. That's what we have to focus on. Thank you very much. Have a great Shabbat.